context or the background of what we want to talk about this morning, verses 17 through 24. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. He felt the need to call the elders of the church at Ephesus to come and to meet him at Miletus. And in that conversation that he had with the elders of the church in Ephesus, Luke describes for us what he says in that conversation. And basically what he says is that, you know my manner of life before you, how I have gone from house to house, and how basically I have suffered many things because of preaching the gospel. And I did not keep anything back that was profitable for you. But then he says, now I go bound to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's going to happen there, but it has been shown me or told me that bonds and affliction await me. But I like what he says in verse number 24. None of these things, he says, move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And not only finish my course with joy, but he's saying, so that I might finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It was Ananias who came to Paul. This is recorded in Acts chapter 9. And instructed Paul of what his mission was to be. And that is, again, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 15, if you want to read that. That same ministry, that is of preaching the gospel, has been given to the Lord's church today. We know what we call the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For our exhortation and our instruction today, I want to share this lesson entitled, The Gospel of the Grace. Ever so often, I think we need to remind ourselves of the love of God and the grace of God and what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. And not only remind ourselves of it, but to continually share with the world, those that we come in contact with what the Lord has done for us. Therefore, again, I want to talk about the gospel of the grace of God. Let us first of all understand and remind ourselves of what the gospel is, of what it means, and also of what grace is and what it means. I would hope that a clear understanding of these two terms would bring us to appreciate what God has done for us in order that we might enjoy eternity with him. We're going to spend eternity somewhere, but I hope all of us this morning want to spend eternity with God. The word gospel, I'm sure that most of us know, comes from a word that means good news. Good news. And I would say this morning that it's the best news that the world has ever heard and will ever hear. And with all of the things that go on around us and all of the things that we hear about, we need to hear some good news. And the word grace means goodwill, loving kindness, unmerited favor, meaning God gives us something that we do not deserve, gives us something not because of us, but because of Him. Gives us something not because of what we have done or what he, or rather we could do, but because of what he has done for us through the love that he has for us in giving his son to die on the cross. And so when we talk about the gospel of the grace, we're talking about the good news of the grace. Grace is good news. And again, it's the best news that we could ever hear. Because number one, there is a great need for grace in our lives. Because the Bible describes how spiritually bankrupt mankind is. While the Jews looked down upon the Gentiles and thought that they were better than the Gentiles, Paul would have these Roman Jews to know in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that you don't need to have that attitude. Because everybody is a sinner. Everybody has sinned. He says, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I can't look down at you. You can't look down at me because we're in the same boat. We all have sinned, Paul says. And there's no way we can get out of this sin problem that we're in if it were not for our God who is above, who loved us, and who would extend his grace unto us so that we might be reconciled unto him and have the problem of sin solved for us. It takes grace for that. Romans 5 and verse 12 teaches us again that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. All, for that all have sinned. And so we are in a terrible shape, terrible condition because of sin. And the consequence of sin is great both in this life and also in the one that is to come. You see, the consequence of sin, not so much from the physical consequences, and yes, there are some physical consequences of sin, but we need to think more about the spiritual consequence of sin. In this life, the spiritual consequence of sin, as we talked on last week, remember, those of us who were here, about we should not continue in sin. The physical consequence, or rather the spiritual consequence of sin in this life is that it sets a wall between us and God. And that's what happened to God's people in the long ago, as we would recall from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. He says the problem is not God that God cannot hear, but the problem is that you have so much sin in your life until you're separated from God. I'm paraphrasing what it says there. You can see what it says on the screen. It says your sin and your iniquities have separated between you and God. sin in the life that is to come. If we don't make changes in our lives when we have a sin problem that we're dealing with, if we don't make changes in our lives, then we're going to have to deal with that in eternity. That means eternal death or eternal separation. Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation. Revelations 21 and verse number 8, where a multitude of sins are enumerated in that passage. And he says, people in that category are going to spend eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. None of us want that, do we? So we're in a terrible shape because of sin. But oh, somebody would come along and say, none of these things, they don't describe me. I'm a morally good person. You know, I don't do those kind of things. I'm a good person. Well, I don't care how good we are. We'll never be good enough for God to say, yes, you got it made by yourself. We need grace. We need grace to be saved. Cornelius was a good man. And if anybody could be saved, we would say Cornelius would be saved. But yet in all of his goodness, he was told, according to Acts chapter 10 and verse number 6, to send to Joppa and to call for a man by the name of Simon or Peter. And he's going to tell you what you ought to do. Well, Cornelius, you good person. What else is there to do? He had to send men to Joppa. And when he rehearsed the story of his sending men to Joppa, and Peter came coming back to him, he says that I was told to do this in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 14, to send men to Joppa. And he says, when he's come, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? You need to be saved, Cornelius? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, Cornelius needed to be saved, even though he was a good man. And the reason being is that, again, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then none of us can remove the guilt of sin on our own. In order to have that guilt of sin removed from our lives, it has to be another force or another agency, and it's not the agency of mankind or humankind. It takes grace for that to come about. So there's a great need for grace. That's why, again, we need to keep preaching and teaching the gospel, this good news of the grace of God, because there are a lot of good folks think that all they got to be is just good. Yeah, we need to be good. And we must be good in order to please God. But our goodness by itself just cannot get the job done. We need grace. That's why, again, grace is such good news. Because we could not be what God would have for us to be without grace. So again, you can see why I want to encourage us from this title, the gospel of the good news of the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for that news, which is so good, that you extended your grace to us. How did he do it? Well, grace was extended to us through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible says this concerning what John saw and what he said. The Bible says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, look. That's what the word behold means. The Lamb of God that does what? Taketh away the sin John saw Jesus come in. That was a great sight. That was an excellent sight, a most excellent sight, to look up and see the one who was coming that would take away the sin of the world. It had been talked about by the angel when he came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thank God this morning again for the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. Because God loved us, he gave us his Son as an atonement, or as an appeasement, or a peace offering, if you will. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says this: "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Thank God again for that sin offering. And you know, because of that, it ought to just keep us excited. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 11. He says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We ought to be the happiest people in the world because of what God did for us. Joy had just ought to exude from our lives because of what God has done for us. And again, as Paul looked at what had been happening to him as he was testifying or preaching this gospel of good news, he says, "The things that had happened to me, the things that awaited me when I get to Jerusalem, they don't move me, because I am determined," he said, "to finish my course with what? Joy." Brothers and sisters, this morning, of all of the things that could happen to us in this life, from a physical standpoint, we still ought to be some joyous folks. We still ought to be striving to finish our course with joy, because if we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are benefactors, are beneficiaries of the grace of God. Thank God for his grace. And so again, he says, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Because you see, without an atonement, we would continue to be subjects of the wrath of God. Do you want God's wrath to fall upon you? I certainly don't want it. But if we did not have Jesus, which is the epitome of grace, if we didn't have him, we would be continually subjected to the wrath of God. But because Jesus came and died on the cross, now he is our propitiation. He is our atonement. He is our peace offering, so that we could again be made friends with God. So again, it ought to just make us happy, and it ought to keep us happy. Will we smile all the time? Perhaps not, but we still ought to be happy. We ought to be happy. We ought to be some joyous folks. And Paul says, "I'm going on to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I know I've been persecuted as I preached the gospel, and I don't know what's going to happen to me in the future. But one thing that I have set in my mind, that I want to finish my course with joy." And I believe the reason why he would say that is because he was so appreciative of God's grace that he neither you nor I deserve. So he, that is God, he provided his Son out of justice. Not only, as I've just talked about, given him as the Son as an atonement. That was out of love. John 3:16, we know that. But he also provided his Son out of justice. You see, God is holy, and God is just. And to satisfy his justice, the price for sin must be paid, because we couldn't pay it. But it had to be paid, because he is a just God. So sin had to be paid and recompensed. And it was only through Jesus' blood could the price be paid. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in what? His blood. What did I just say earlier? I said, only through his blood could the price for sin be paid. So Paul is talking about this blood now, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You see, God forbore man's sin. In other words, he put up with man's sin all through Old Testament times. But he gave him a remedy so that he could put up with it. And that remedy was that they had to sacrifice these animals every day. By the way, it was morning and evening, every day. They had to sacrifice. They had to offer some blood. But out of all of that blood, it could still never take away sin. But God was forbearing. He was putting up with it. He was allowing that sin to be rolled forward until the time that Jesus would come and die. And when Jesus died on the cross, then the price of sin could be fully paid. And so God provided his Son out of justice. But not only did he provide his Son out of love and provide his Son out of justice, he also provided his Son out of mercy. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, beginning. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in what, church? Mercy. Are you thankful this morning that God is rich in mercy? God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace toward us through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. God gave us Jesus out of, number one, his love, number two, out of his justice, number three, out of his mercy. But it all, of course, began with grace. So God is a merciful God, and we want to thank God for his mercy. Yes, indeed. No wonder we can say this morning, along with the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired to say as he came to these elders of the church at Ephesus, that I am testified, I will testify the gospel of the good news of the grace of God. But having said all of this morning, we cannot close without saying that this grace that we're saved by is conditional. It's conditional. It must be received. I think I've used this illustration in times past. We're talking about grace. It's like radio waves. Radio waves are all floating around right now. Do any of us hear any music being played? Hear any talk being made? No, we don't. You know why? if we have a radio, and most of us and most of you, whoever, you've probably got a radio on your phone, but you don't have it on. And the reason why you don't have it on, you don't have it on, number one, and you don't have it, since it's not on, it's not tuned into a station. And therefore, you don't hear no sound. But does that mean that the radio waves are not in here? They're in here. All you need to do is have the right receptor and tune in to the radio waves, and you can pick up whatever station you can pick up. That's the way grace is. We have grace, yes. But do we really have it benefiting our lives? No, we don't, unless we have received it according to the will of God. Titus 2 and 1, verse 11 says, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. And it appeared when, of course, Jesus died on the cross. So grace is in the world. But in order to receive the benefits of grace, it must be received. And how do you receive it? You receive it by obeying the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without obedience to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you'll never get the benefits in your life, nor in my life, unless we obey Jesus Christ. Yes, he came to save. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the one that will make it right with God because of our sins that we have in our lives. He'll make it right with God. But he won't do it unless we obey him. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do what? Obey him. Jesus will save everybody that will obey him. So if you want to benefit from this good news of the grace of God, then you got to obey. I got to obey Jesus. Because again, James says in James 1 and verse 21, he says, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive, I'm talking about having the right receptor for the grace now. He said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your souls. If we ever are going to be saved, it's going to be because we have received and obeyed the word of the Lord. No obedience, no salvation. That's why, again, when the Great Commission was given, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We've got to believe what the Lord says, and we've got to do what the Lord says if we want to receive the grace of God. You see, again, freedom from sin comes when one is willing to obey the Lord from the heart. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. When were they made free from sin? According to the scripture. When they did what? Obeyed that form of doctrine. And that was, it was talking about the gospel. When they obeyed the gospel, then they were made free. Until you and I obey the gospel, until you and I obey what the Lord said, we are still servants of sin. Sin is still reigning in us. It is still holding us captive. But once we obey what the Lord says, the Lord frees us from that. Do we deserve it? No, we don't. But because of his grace, he will give it to us. So, can't you see how it's good news? Can't you see how the gospel of grace is such a wonderful thing to hear and to obey. And when one obeys this good news, obeys the Lord then will add that individual to his church. And when one, having become a member of the church, of the body of Christ, when one continues to walk in the light, in other words, continue to obey, though we are sinful beings, and though we can't get through this life without sin. I know there are some folks that teach that once you obey the Lord, you can't sin. Well, that contradicts what the Bible says. But once we obey the Lord and walk through this life, when we continue to obey him, when we mess up, then the Bible says the blood of his son will continue to cleanse us. So if you can't sin, then I wonder why this passage is in the Bible. There's a passage in the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 6 and 7 says this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us, continues to clean us from our sins. So again, if it were not for God's grace, there would be no blood, and there would be no continual cleansing. But because of God's grace, because of his love, because of his justice, because of his mercy, he gave us Jesus. And his word teaches us that we must continue to walk in the light. Simply mean we must strive to the best of our ability to obey the Lord. So talking about change, as we bring just a little bit of our Wednesday night lesson, Bible study lesson in. May not have said all of this on Wednesday night. If there are things then in our lives that we know are causing us to stand a guilty distance from God, we must be willing to change those things, to put those things out of our lives so that we can get back into harmony with the will of God, so that we can receive the benefits of his grace, which will also give us the benefit of Jesus' blood. So you've been lying, stop lying. You've been talking about folks, stop talking about folks. Been living immoral lives, stop living immoral lives. Been taking advantage of folks, stop taking advantage of folks. As Peter says, evil speaking and all guile and all malice, he says, lay those things aside. Make a change. Because if you don't, or if we don't, we're going to lose out on the benefits of the grace of God. And I don't care how good that news is, that good news will not help us unless we change our lives and bring them into harmony with the will of God. So Paul says, as I close this morning, that he wanted to finish his course with joy. And not only finish his course with joy, he said, but finish the ministry that he was testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. Are you thankful this morning then for the grace of God? I hope we all are thankful for the grace of God. So if we are thankful for the grace of God that sprung out of the love of God, then we ought to reciprocate. You know what reciprocate means, I know. That we ought to give back to God what he gave to us. What he gave to us. He gave us his love. We ought to give our love back to him. How do you do that? Somebody say, well, how do I give back to God? what he gave me. Jesus said it like this.
Ship of Zion, take thee, O ship of Zion. Get on board, get on board. There's no danger in the danger in the water. guided many a thousand. It hath landed many a thousand. It hath landed many a thousand. Get on board, get on board. King Jesus is the captain. King Jesus is the captain. King Jesus is the captain. Get on board, get on board.
To help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, number two in our favorite songs of inspiration. Number two.
Holy Spirit, dwell in me, touch mine heart that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with thee. When I'm worried, soothe my mind. Let me sweet contentment find. May I run this wicked race, filled by your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, comfort me. Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed. In God's bosom, lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior's face.
But as we look backwards into the text,